So this is the last service in this series on building a New Testament church. We're looking today at the practical steps toward building a New Testament church, some suggestions, some practical things that we've found in our own work very, very powerful and helpful. And we want to look next at maintaining high standards for all workers. Maintaining high standards for all workers is a powerful thing, a necessary thing, and a way to strengthen the church, a way to, even when many of the members are lukewarm and worldly, this can be a powerful thing. You can't force people to be spiritual, but you can keep unspiritual people from being in ministry positions. Right. Can do that. Amen. And in fact, you better do that, right. And you must do that, amen. But you can do that. And that's a powerful thing. Teaching, music, ushering, anything. And that way, they aren't allowed to have a serious level of influence. It limits it at least. It sends a strong message to them that their unbiblical way of Christian living is not a small thing. If a church member doesn't want to attend prayer meetings, for example, at least he should not be allowed to be in any ministry position. Far as I'm concerned, I've talked to so many pastors, I've been to so many churches, and the prayer meeting is just pathetic as far as the number of the members that come. Just such a tiny, 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 incredibly tiny number of the members will come. I'm talking about my experiences in churches. And I'll talk to the pastor about it. It bothers me a lot, and I'll talk to the pastor about it, and I'll find out that it doesn't bother him much. Doesn't bother him much. These people should not be in ministry positions. You don't even care enough to come to a prayer meeting. What kind of Christian are you? No kind, as far as I'm concerned. Certainly not a biblical kind. What? Acts 2, 41 and 42, they continued steadfastly in prayers. That's a New Testament Christian. Give me more prayers. Not, oh, I got to go to a prayer meeting. Give me more prayer meetings. That's a New Testament Christian's heart. Yeah, but... if they won't come, and at the very least, you cannot allow them to be in any ministry position. High standards for workers. I was in the church just recently, and the man that was operating the sound booth. Afterwards, I was back there talking with him for a couple minutes, and this teenage boy came up, and he was messing around with I saw him with the smartphone there, and so I said, nosing around like I always do, what do you have on there? He said, oh, I got Pokemon here. Pokemon, which is an occultic, it's a cultic thing. And so I found out he's the son of the sound booth man running around in the church playing Pokemon. You shouldn't play Pokemon anytime, let alone in the church. What kind of thing is this? So I talked to the pastor, and he said, well, what's Pokemon? I said, you don't know what Pokemon is, Pastor? Don't you read Friday Church news notes or anything? How can you be so ignorant? Well, I don't know what he did. I suspect he did nothing. But that man wouldn't be any kind of sound man in our church until he got his family right and knew how to keep his teenage son from having a cell phone, first of all. And second of all, to have all kind of occultic junk on that cell phone. What are we talking about here? What kind of Christianity is this? Well, if that's your kind of Christianity, then I don't know what to do about you, but you cannot have any kind of ministry. It's powerful stuff, high standards. It's setting them in writing and having them there so that everybody knows where everything stands. But then the preacher having the backbone to enforce it and not allow exceptions. Powerful stuff. It speaks a loud message to people. Right. Worldly teens who sing in choirs. Worldly teens shouldn't sing in choirs. Right. What kind of message is that to the church when everybody knows who's worldly? And this worldly teen standing up there, heart full of the world all week long, all kinds of junk of the world, and standing up there singing for Jesus. Give me a break. What is it? High standards. Good, solid biblical standards for anyone that would have a ministry in the church. Women who dress immodestly all week long. And then they're going to sing specials in the church. No, not in our church. What you wear on Sunday is not who you are. What you wear all week long is who you are. That's who you really are, modesty-wise. Whether you're Mary Quant or a biblical virtuous woman, church that we were members of at one point, there was a woman who taught Sunday school, a girl's Sunday school. What a powerful thing. What an important thing to be teaching girls the Word of God. What kind of woman should do that? A woman that consistently displays biblical spirituality and modesty, which is a heart thing, first and foremost. But she wasn't modeling anything but rebellion, had the short hair, Mary Quant hairstyle. Well, Mary Quant was a rebel. And the same passage that taught me to cut my hair teaches you to grow your hair. It does. I won't back down from that. It's the same passage. We won't let a long-haired man sing in the choir. Her hair reflected her rebellious heart. And all week long she'd strut around in pants, which the church taught against, and the pastor taught against, but he wouldn't enforce anything. And it eventually corrupted the whole church, the lack of enforcement. Things were in writing. They were in writing, but the pastor stopped enforcing anything. And I don't know what happened to him, but he stopped enforcing anything. It corrupted the whole church. Standards. The young people in our church who are growing are those who've given up social media. Amen. Of their own free will. And they have. Vast majority of our young people have given up social media of their own free will, and they stand up in the meetings and testify what a terrible influence it had on them. Amen. And how it was dragging them down and holding them down, and how they got him. One young man at our last youth meeting stood up and he gave his testimony and how that he had gotten involved with pornography because of social media. Right. And God convicting him about that. And God dealt with him about that. And of his own free will, he gave that up and cut that off. Amen. And one by one, they've stood up and said, this was a devastating thing in my life. It was dragging me down, giving it up. And those are the ones that are growing. Amen. Those are the ones that can serve in the ministries. Amen. And only those can serve in the ministries. It's just common sense, biblical sense. It's not enough to preach right. It's not enough even to preach strong. Most preachers don't even preach strong, but that in itself, as important as it is not enough. I mean to preach strong and straight. And that preaching gets down and meddles with how you live. Preaching should meddle with how you live. It's supposed to. But that's not enough. That's powerful and necessary, but that's not enough. People have to be confronted. The Word of God has to be enforced. People have to be confronted personally when they sit there and refuse to obey that sharp-pointed preaching. It cannot be ignored. Warning every man and teaching every man the enforcement of the Word of God. Exercising of discipline, restricting ministries to those that are willing, that are obeying God. Maintaining high standards for workers. We deal with that a lot in the book, The Discipling Church. And then we would suggest building godly homes. Building godly homes. The more I go along, the more I see how important these two institutions are, the church and the home. And all of the major passages about home life, about godly homes, godly husband and wife relationships, and child training, and the father being the spiritual head of the home, and ye fathers, and the mothers being the keepers at home. All of those passages are addressed to churches. Ephesians 5 and 6. Colossians 3. Titus 2. Titus is a church building manual. So that instruction about the home in Titus 2 is written as a part of a church planting manual. Titus is a perfect outline of church planting. And that's what it was all about. Titus was in Crete to set in order the things that were lacking and build up the churches, establish them. And all of those are directed to the church. And so it is the church that is to build the homes. You want a strong home, you've got to find a solid church. It's necessary. Amen. Move across the country if necessary. But it is necessary. Because it's the church building up the home, and then the home's building the church. But building up the homes to raise a godly seed. One of the exciting things to me this week is to see young families. To see young families and to see the potential to raise up a godly seed here. Great potential here. Young preachers here. Young families here that are committed to building godly homes, raising a godly seed. Powerful stuff. We deal with that in keeping the kids. And when I wrote that book, I interviewed people, even in Australia. I was here in Australia during that time, and I interviewed a couple families that had been very successful in raising their children for Christ. And I asked them, what'd you do right? What would you like to say to other parents? And I gathered that counsel and put it in that book, Keeping the Kids, and got a lot of feedback from God's people. It's packed with practical things. A pastor's wife recently asked me, in Spain, in fact, a godly pastor's wife. They have three children, I guess, three teenage children. And she said, so many times the children don't turn out right. And it seems like the parents, you know, try to do so much that's right, but the children don't turn out right. And what do you think happens, Brother Cloud? I said, well, a lot of things, because I am convinced that we can raise a godly seed. I believe God even promises that. But it is not any kind of small job. It requires a whole bunch of things being done right. A whole bunch of things being done right. And you can fail in some ways. And we thank God for His grace and His mercy. Or none of us would ever raise a godly anything. Yeah, but there's things we can do and there's things we must do. Passionately, God doesn't want any half-hearted anything. Amen. Passionately, whatever we do, do with all our hearts. So raising kids with all my heart. Yeah, that's where it starts. Amen. Husband and wife committed 100% to that thing. We want a godly seed. We want to require of God a godly seed. We're going to do everything we can on our part to raise a godly seed. That these kids are going to turn out right for God. They're His. They're His. Amen. Husband and wife having a good Christian character. What's required to build godly homes? Well, it's a pretty big list. Husband and wife having good Christian character. Consistency in Christian living. Hypocrisy is one of the most destructive things in child training, of course. And they see us doing one thing on Sunday and doing something else the rest of the week. So destructive. A good husband-wife relationship, secondly. A good husband-wife relationship. Working on that. Loving your wife, loving your husband. That doesn't just happen. That takes work. That takes focus. That takes commitment. But it's necessary. It's been said that one of the most important things a father can do to raise a godly seed is love his wife. Amen. Love her. And they see that. Number three, commitment to and faithfulness to and serving in a sound New Testament church. It's essential. Amen. To raise those kids and to raise yourself in a sound New Testament church, a sound New Testament church. It's essential. Number four, the father, the spiritual head of the home. Here's just a list of some of the things. What goes wrong, Brother Cloud? Well, just some of these things. The father, the spiritual head of the home. The father, the spiritual head of the home. Not a do-nothing. Sports loving, goof off. The father, the spiritual head of the home, engaged. Amen. Ephesians 6:4. The father, the spiritual head of the home. Right here is the father. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the father's the head of this business. Working together with the mother. But the father's the head of it. He's the spiritual head. He's engaged in this business of raising a godly seed. Mom and dad, number five, 100% committed to raising the children for Christ. One man, as I was interviewing different people for the book, Keeping the Kids, said, Brother Cloud, turning our daughter outright for the Lord is the highest priority we have. It is extremely important to us. It is like life and death to us. So it gets a lot of our thought, prayers, and attention. This is an intelligent couple. He's a very capable man, can do just about anything. And so he says, for me, I'm focusing my attention on that this girl will turn out right for the Lord. Guess what? She did. That was years ago. She's grown now. She did. She's a godly, modest young woman. Commitment. Number six, mom and dad being spiritual warriors. Spiritual warriors get their prayers answered. Can you get your prayers answered? Mom and dad, spiritual warriors. Number seven, biblical child discipline. One of the chapters in that book is how to lose your teenager before he's 5 years old. This business starts very early. Proper biblical discipline, which is a big thing. You have to learn how to do it. There's a lot to it. We need to study these things, make these things studies. If we're going to be an engineer, we go study and this and that. These are more important than being in engineering or whatever. These are more important. We need to study these things. Be eager and interested. I'll take these books to churches. Hardly anybody's interested. Here's a book to help you with, packed with information from godly people. Not just one man's ideas, but so little interest. So little interest in studying and learning these important things. I'm telling you the truth. It's frightfully, frightful lack of interest. I trust not here, but wherever I go. In fact, wherever I go, I'm never disappointed in how few books are sold. Make them as cheap as possible. It doesn't matter. Biblical child discipline. If your children don't obey, they're not disciplined. That's the test. It's obedience. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's a test. Do they obey? Mom says, don't sit there, sit over there. Does he obey? Or does he sniggle out of it? It's obedience. The mom, a keeper at home. Huge. Titus 2:5. Keepers at home. Huge. It's not some old-fashioned thing. It's a powerful spiritual thing. My niece recently said, Elias turned one on the 11th of last month. Ivan will be three on the 21st of the month, little boys. It's going by fast. We have such a short time with our children to teach them truth, this young mom said to me. I'm so glad I'm able to stay home with the boys and be fully present. Fully present. Brian always wanted it that way. That's her husband. He always wanted it that way. Yeah, keepers at home. How powerful. All of my daughters-in-law are keepers at home. Every single one of them. It's powerful. Yeah, 21st century stuff. 21st century biblical Christianity. And all of these are sharp women. They could do whatever. No, they want to be keepers at home. They have children. Home, number nine, immersed in God's Word. Home immersed in God's Word. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. These words shall be in thine heart. These words. What words? What incredible words to put in your heart. Oh, it's beautiful. But God commands it. But I want it. Redemption restores and puts that love of God in your heart, and love of God's word. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. It has to first be in your heart, parents' heart. And then thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Talk of rugby, right? And hockey. No, the word of God. No, seriously, the word of God. But if hockey and rugby is what's in your heart, that's what you'll talk about. Right. So first he's got to dwell in the hearts of the parents. Right. So exciting this week to talk about the word of God with people. I haven't heard one mention except me of sports. But you know what's going on out there. No, sir. What dwells in our heart is what we talk to our children about. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, immersing your home in the word of God. Serious parents being serious Bible students. Mom and dad discussing the word of God together. Family devotions, meal times, anytime, all the time. My son Jonathan, he's teaching his children Hebrew. And his little son, 3 years old, we were Skyping him recently. And he said, and they were putting him to bed because we live on, 12 hours difference between Nepal and American time. And they were getting ready to put him to bed, and he was complaining. He said, I haven't had my Hebrew lesson yet. My Hebrew lesson. Okay. John Boys, King James translator, could read the whole Hebrew Bible at age 5. My grandson's not that brilliant. But they're teaching them the Word of God. Their whole family is immersed in the Word of God. My granddaughter, for her birthday, she didn't want a video game or something. She wanted to go to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, which I took her to. And that's a great museum. Teaching the children to read it, to study it. Immersing the home in the Word of God. Number 10, wisdom and extreme caution about education in general. What does it take to build a godly home and raise a godly seed? Well, wisdom and extreme caution about education in general. Our kids got a good education. My wife was the main teacher. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, Jyoti, she was accepted into Harvard and Yale. That's how high her scores were and impressive her scores were. But she didn't go there. She went to a little Bible college. But I'm just saying, my kids got a good education. But my wife often says, I'd rather my kids be stupid than to go to a university, secular college or university. She's just expressing her passion about the importance of biblical education and Bible-based education, the great danger of secular education. How many people, young people we've seen messed up through secular education. The only way, as far as I can see, that a young person can successfully go to a secular college or university is that they be, and it's extremely rare even then to not be damaged, but if that person is clearly saved, clearly serving the Lord, seeking the Lord, and in a good church, serving in a good church, it might can work. Because you've got that protection there. But rarely does it work. We've seen everywhere I go, I see this emphasis on secular education being very destructive to the homes and churches and the future of the churches. And churches never producing preachers because of the emphasis on secular education. We can't call our young people to be preachers, but we can sure create an environment in which God calls. We can make it known what's really important in life. Nepal is just all consumed with secular education and the young people going overseas and out in the villages. The fathers, what they do, these Hindu fathers, they sit around and talk to one another about their children. Well, my kid's in Australia. And he's studying this. My kids, that's what they do. These are villagers. But that's what they talk about, what they boast about to one another. And so that's their passion for their kids. And these young people get saved out of these Hindu families. And this huge pressure is upon them from the families to pursue this and that. But all secular, of course. For pride and prestige and money. For every wrong kind of objective. And that's the pressure that's put upon the young people in our churches from these Hindu homes. Most of our young people are not from Christian homes. And so we push the other way by the Word of God. We're seeing great success in that. But they have to go against their own parents. And you should honor your parents and you should obey your parents unless your parents are going against God, and then you must honor God first. Amen. Even if your parents are Christians. But if they're wrong and they're going against God's will, then you have to say yes to God and no to your parent. And that's hard, sure, but Jesus said that's the way it must be. That's right. That's serious, real, biblical discipleship. Amen. Number 11, separation from all evil things. Strict separation. Going through the home and rooting out the worldly things. Rooting out any destructive thing. Rooting out any tempting thing. Anything. Strict separation. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. None. Put it out. It'll come back. Put it out again. Search it out. No leaven. Constantly examining, evaluating, toys, books, literature, any kind of literature, entertainment. Nothing's insignificant. Recreation, clothing, friends, relatives, anything, everything. The influence of relatives. We had to guard very carefully about that, my wife and I. The influence of our unsaved, in some cases, and unspiritual, in other cases, relatives. Carnal-minded, worldly-minded, the one that influenced our kids. We had to be very zealous about that, very rude about that at sometimes, it seemed like to them. No, zealous over these things. Separation from any kind of evil communication. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Any kind of evil communication will corrupt good manners. Strict separation from all evil things. Number 12, wisdom and extreme caution about the internet, smartphones, computers, social media. Oh, I've seen such shipwreck. I was in South Africa. Always wanted to go to South Africa for many years, and I was invited there to preach a few years ago. And I wanted to go to see the animals, you know. And I got to go on a three-day photography safari. God gives you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm almost embarrassed a lot of times to talk about the blessings I have. Seriously. Yeah, but there, I was staying with the pastor. And right while I was there, his son that graduated from high school, right then, became known that he had become an atheist. And what happened? He was online. And he started reading Richard Dawkins and these people, these atheists. And this young man, as far as I know, is still professing to be an atheist. And he had been, they thought, a shining example in the youth department, looked up to. But he had this secret life. There he is. Extreme caution about these things. Well, the devil can just reach right in now, right into your home. Pastors, one of my closest friends in Nepal, and one day he contacted us with great desperation, asking for help and prayer. And he found out that his daughter had gotten online. Just a couple years ago, had gotten online and made evil communications and contacts with worldly people, and her heart had become captured by evil things. It was a hard time. I think he's won the battle. And I believe her heart has been won back, but it was a hard battle. And they focused on that thing like a laser. They put aside every other thing, and they focused on that girl like a laser to win her heart back. But it was a huge battle because of this the electronic communication. A teenager to have this thing? That is so stupid. Not a teenager alive that can handle this thing properly. It's not fair to let them have that. It's not right. It's not wise.
It's true.
There's no way. What are we thinking? Man, if I'd had this thing as a teenager, whoa, what a mess I would be in. No. Extreme caution. It's going to get worse. So these are some of the things that are necessary. These are big things. Every one of them is important. What can go wrong? Anything. So this is like a laser focusing. The parents, the mother and the father, with everything they have. Building godly homes. Be serious about youth discipleship. It's been such a tremendous blessing in our church. We don't have any sports. We don't have any goofing off. We laugh a lot. My wife loves to laugh. And she makes me laugh. Sometimes she makes me cry, but I'll tell you, she's a funny person, but she's a serious person. She is a spiritually serious person. But we don't have goofing off for goofing off. Recently, they had a young women's meeting, and my wife said to them, should we have a game or should we pray? And the young women wanted to pray. They wanted to pray. Serious use of discipleship. Can't imagine Paul setting up a Christian version of the Greek games. How can you imagine such a thing? No, the Independent Baptists in Nepal, except for us, as far as I know, they all have youth, the sports leagues. That's what they do with their young people. Not us. We're teaching them the Word of God in a serious way, and they love it. I mean serious students. They're there in church to be students. They want to learn something, capture something. They're there with their Bibles and their notes. Yeah, serious students. And we do all kinds of things to help them learn how to be effectual Bible students and learn how to separate from the world. And we're constantly focusing all the things. And we make a big thing of Christ. Yeah, He is the head. We want them to know He's the head. And we want them to make Him the head. We make a big thing of what the believer is in Christ. We make a big thing of what the believer is in Christ. What? Forgiven? Accepted? Accepted by the Creator of the universe? Accepted in the Beloved? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? There, that one's packed. Meditate on that. That's what we want our young people to do. Meditate on these things. What you are in Christ, man, that'll make you think a video game stupid. Real fast. Real fast. Seated in the heavenlies. Now, seated in the heavenlies. Elect. I love the doctrine of election. That means God has foreknown and planned out my life. Every detail. Meditate on that. Adopted. Ambassador of Christ, a royal priest, a joint heir with Christ, a joint heir with the Son of God. Now that's big stuff. That's got to be big stuff. I want to think about that. I want our young people to think about these things. Man, that'll broaden your horizon. We do. We teach them what they are in Christ. Part of Christ's bride. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's big stuff. I know that. What about this? 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things are yours. All things? Yeah, all things. And that's what we want our young people to meditate upon, these kinds of things, these big things. And it makes their mind big. And it makes their thinking and their horizons and their goals and all become very big and godlike. Amen. That's godliness. We focus on the multitude of things that are both edifying and interesting. Life's full of good things that are not harmful. That's right. And they're both edifying and interesting. We can focus on these things, and life's full of those things. And God wants life to be full of those things. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. There's tons of things to enjoy that are good and right. First of all, the Word of God. Really, truly, this is the most exciting thing to enjoy. Amen. And meditating upon Christ. But the world's full of good things to enjoy. Lawfully and rightfully in the will of God to enjoy. And we try to fill our young people's lives with such things. Truly, like a little granddaughter that wants to go and learn about Noah's Ark. That's fascinating stuff, heck. Truly. Archaeology, creation science, photography, music, godly music, powerful stuff. All of our young people learning music, learning to play music, learning to read music. It's a big handicap not to read music. And that enriches their lives. And then when they have that heart that's saved and surrendered, they have the right desires, but their life is rich and full. We're not talking about boring Christianity or a boring kind of church. We're talking about something very serious and exciting, and that excites young people too if they're right. And they're educated and led properly. And sports looks pretty stupid. And what an incredible waste of time that is compared to these things. I got two of my grandkids' cameras last year and taught them a lot about photography. I love photography. It's enriched my life greatly, personally. Photography has. I'm a serious photographer. And I've taught them a lot about photography, and we've gone out together. That's enriched their lives greatly. Makes you see. Anyway, photography. I won't give you a photography lesson. If you don't have youth who are interested in serious Bible study and spiritual activities and pursuing the holy will of God, then you don't have saved young people. It's that simple. And you need to focus on that problem like a laser. That problem, what? That you don't really have saved young people. You have young people that are playing Christianity. But if their heart is in the world and they don't love the word of God, he that is of God hears God's word. My sheep hear my voice. And you don't have that, then you have lost young people. What? Well, that needs to be corrected. We need to focus on that like a laser and not entertain the goats. But no, lead those goats to become sheep. Amen. Focus on it like a laser. Take a course like growing in, like the Seeker's Bible study. Go through it with the young people. Lead them to Christ. Yeah, young, serious youth discipleship. Emphasizing Bible prophecy. It's powerful. We have found Bible prophecy to be so powerful. Powerful for the young people. Major subjects of the Bible, Bible prophecy. Most churches don't deal with it. Most Christians don't know a clue about Joel or Malachi or these prophecies. Huge part of the Bible. Man, I love Bible prophecy. That's my future. How can you not be interested in that? It's powerful, especially the imminency of the return of Christ. The constant emphasis on that. Practically every message we preach that and mention that. And because in every epistle it's mentioned. It gives you a proper worldview. So powerful. There are signs that Bible prophecy is being neglected by fundamental Baptists. I hear of it. One man wrote to me, preacher, said about 3 years ago I was speaking with another fundamental Baptist pastor here in the area. I mentioned that I truly believe the Lord is coming soon. He said, you know, everybody was preaching it back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And surely it thought surely Christ would come before 2000. Well, I don't know who thought that. That was stupid. He could come before 2000. I really don't preach that much anymore, he said. Oh, my. Have a big vision to fulfill the Great Commission. Big vision to reach the world for Christ, to broaden your horizons, to multiply yourself, to establish other churches. Man, that'll keep you growing and moving. God blesses that. Churches that are busy establishing other churches and have that as a goal, that's a powerful thing because that's God's will. Big vision to fulfill the Great Commission starting in Australia. This is such a needy country. Hard as a rock, I know, but needy. Needy, and God's still saving people. Vision and beyond. And then let me say lastly, and that's powerful stuff. Our missionary conference is the focus of our year. And I have seen in my life personally, someone was asking today, did you get something good from Tennessee Temple in Holland Park? Yeah, many things. And one of those things was big vision for world missions. And they had these massive conferences every year. Oh, there would be 100 missionaries. 100. We're talking about a church at that time of, you know, thousands. And oh, the congregational singing was so, it was sacred and it was so powerful. Oh, it was powerful. And that vision they would put before all those young people of reaching the world for Christ. Hundreds went out, hundreds surrendered in those days. Hundreds went out of there. Couples went out of there, like my wife and I, to the ends of the earth. And that those conferences were powerful. Because that's the heart and soul of God's will in this present age. And he blesses that. and I saw the power of such a thing. And so we're emulating that in Nepal with really special missionary conferences. And they're powerful, and we're seeing God cause young people and parents and stuff surrender to that and surrender to that and say, what's my part in that? What's my part in that? It gives you vision. That's powerful stuff. And then lastly, focus on real disciples. Most churches don't have 100% real disciples. All right? You want them to be, but they're not going to be, so what? Move on with those that are real disciples. Focus on them like a laser. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And so that's where your disciples are. And so focus on them and lead them and build them up. And the others will work themselves out eventually. That's what we suggest to pastors who want to change the character of a partly lukewarm church. Just focus your attention on those that are true disciples. Amen. Focus on them, build them, work with them, and you'll have something. We want all the people to come along. We want all the people to come along. Press on to higher ground. We want that. And we want to do everything we can toward that end, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Some people just don't want to go to higher ground. All right? Stay on the low ground. We're going on the high ground. We're going on the high ground. Who wants to come with us? Yeah. Of the rebel, there comes a time when God says, like in Hosea 4:17, let him alone. Just let him alone. Very sad. Oh, I don't want God to let me alone. I want God to stir me and grow me. I'm growing more now than I ever have in my Christian life. It's at nearly 70. Growing more now than I ever have in my Christian life. I want to keep growing till I die. Keep growing till I die. Keep bearing fruit till I die. God bless you folks. It's been a blessing to be here this week. Very special to me to see God working in such a powerful way here in Australia, of all places. Yeah. I think doing some great, great things. Little is much when God's in it. The preachers that are represented here and the young couples, the young people that are represented here have great potential. God bless you.